A new deadline is set for cleanup at the city's troubled Eureka Garden complex. Good morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, and just ahead, local pastor Mark Griffin speaks out about conditions at the HUD apartment, what's being done, and he takes your calls. You can get on the line right now at 549-2937. Then later, it's our book club here on the show today, the Holiday Edition, Cutting Edge Treatment at the new MD Anderson Cancer Center with Baptist Health. And don't miss it as we give you the list that you don't want this Christmas, the most dangerous toys of 2015. Attorney Wayne Hogan will clue us into that. All of that ahead this morning. But first this hour, federal authorities are warning the owner of Jacksonville's Eureka Garden Complex that it's in default on a key funding contract because of deplorable conditions at the subsidized housing apartments. A notice of default from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, says Global Ministries Foundation has failed to provide decent, safe, and sanitary housing for the residents. HUD has set a February 4th deadline for the Reverend Richard Hamlet, based in Tennessee, to fix the problems at the troubled site. Meanwhile, another minister here in town, Pastor Mark Griffin and his Wayman Ministries, have been working for years now to improve the lives of residents at Eureka Garden. Pastor Griffin joins us now in studio with more about those efforts and this latest news. Mark Griffin, always good to see you. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. How are you today?
Good to see you. And when it comes to Eureka Garden, the subsidized housing complex, the HUD apartments on Jacksonville's west side, what are your questions? What are your thoughts about this latest notice of default from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development? And what are your questions for Pastor Mark Griffin? Give us a call at 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email and tweet us. Or you can weigh in on our Facebook page. And in a moment, we'll talk about all the work you've been doing over at Eureka Garden. But first, this banner headline in today's Times Union talking about this notice of default. What was your reaction to hearing about this? We've been hearing about these issues for months now, actually years, yeah, at Eureka exactly. Garden, and still we are not seeing resolution.
Well, I think this notice of default has been a long time coming, and I think it's still not quick enough for the residents who have been, as you mentioned, they've been living in these conditions for literally years. But I think we're making progress, may not be as quick as we want, but we're staying on point. We're glad to see that federal HUD has finally recognized what we in the city of Jacksonville have recognized a long time, and that is our residents are living literally in deplorable conditions.
That's right. HUD telling the Reverend Richard Hamlet that at least 340 of the 400 units at the housing project don't meet code. They've told Hamlet that he's got a deadline of February 4th to fix things. If not, they may take over the complex, suspend his federal money, cancel his housing assistance payments. What are your reactions to the really strong criticism that's been leveled at this pastor up in Tennessee? Critics saying that he is scamming the government, making money off the backs of poor folks that really can't afford to live anywhere else but in subsidized housing.
Well, I think as a person who's gone through a lot of these apartment complexes, it is just amazing how people have had to live for so many years, and I think it's high time that these changes be made, and I think he should be held accountable, and we continue to work with the residents to make sure that their conditions are improved.
Let's talk about what you've been doing at Eureka Garden, beginning with an event that happened just the other day, right?
Yes, we just dedicated and had the ribbon cutting on a playground where we attempted to raise about $75,000, and because of the graciousness of Jacksonville, we raised almost $100,000. And so we have this incredible playground that the children are having a great time and just having fun being kids. And really, that's what it's all about, is recognizing we have families that literally have been living in blight for years. And so we've been working with the residents for probably at least 3 years, if not longer. And the key to where we are now is getting the residents organized. They have been complaining individually for many, many years, but we had to help them find their collective voice and realize the importance of forming an organization. And that's what's really guiding this thing to Rolling.
Tell me a little bit more about that. What is the organization and how is it rolling out?
Well, it's the Eureka Gardens Tenants Association. And what we found out is in the history of that complex, they had never had an organized tenants association. And so some 3 years ago, when I started meeting with the residents, first I had to gain their support and trust and help them to understand how important it was that they would organize. And after getting them organized, we met some resistance from the owners and managers because they really did not want the tenants to have a collective voice. And so we fought through that. And finally, the owner and the manager and Federal HUD recognized this tenants association. And that has really what has propelled this issue forward to where it is now.
When you say they didn't want an organized tenants association, how did they express that?
They expressed it by saying to us that they already had a tenants association. And our response was, based on Federal HUD guidelines, the owner-manager could not have anything to do with what was supposed to be an independent organization. So it was literally in a meeting with Federal HUD officials that we were finally able to convince the owners that this is a separate independent group of the residents that they really had nothing to do with. And so that's how we were able to move this forward. And then we were able to begin to address some of these issues that are now being dealt with.
In just a moment, we'll go to your calls for Pastor Mark Griffin. His Wayman Ministries and Wayman Community Development Corporation has been working for several years now at the troubled Eureka Garden Complex. The HUD complex now looking at a February 4th deadline for the parent company Global Ministries to clean up a raft of issues for the tenants, everything from gas leaks to mold in their apartments, plumbing issues, inadequate ventilation, all kinds of problems. What are your questions? We'll go to the calls in a moment at 549-2937. And so do you think that in terms of the federal response, it's too little too late? What are your thoughts about HUD's action on this?
Now, I think it's a little late, we will accept it. We wish it had come earlier, but I think they're moving in the right direction. And I know before this is all oversaid and done with, we will probably have litigation. And the Tenants Association, we are preparing to deal with that. We have legal support. And so we're going to see this through. And I think that's what I want the public to understand, is that it's taken us years to get to this point. And if it takes us another year, hopefully it won't. But if it does, we're going to be here for the long haul to make sure at the end of the day, these residents have living conditions that they should have in the city of Jacksonville.
Now, Mayor Lenny Curry toured the complex, visibly angry, demanded fixes. So have a raft of other city officials. The gas was cut off several weeks ago, leaving residents without any heat, any hot water. Has that been fixed at least?
Yes, that has been fixed. I was there that night with the residents, and it was really sad to witness people who could not have gas in their homes to heat their homes. And we were on the verge of what was going to be a cold spell that weekend. And so we're thankful that issue was fixed. But again, it should never get to that type of a situation. And literally, those kind of things can pop up in that complex any day because of the lack of maintenance and repair over the years.
And how would you assess the conditions for most of the residents there right now today?
Quite frankly, I don't think most of us would have our families living there. Now, what is the irony of it all is that many of these residents, they don't know any better. And one of the things that was really heartbreaking for me was when there was talk about the possible shutdown of Eureka Gardens, a lot of the residents were upset because they did not know where they were going to go. And so the long-term solution to this also is to make sure we help these residents understand the importance of, you know, getting an education, becoming homeowners, and so that they won't be placed in this condition in the future. There's a lot of work that we have to do, not only in Eureka Gardens, but many complexes just like this all over the city.
And your work with Wayman Ministries, that's the work of this nonprofit.
Absolutely. Our Community Development Corp, Wayman Community Development, we have been doing this work for many years through, we mentor many of the children over in Eureka. We have after-school programs. And in fact, this coming Saturday, we have our 9th annual Community Christmas Fellowship where we love on not only the children, but the adults. We give gifts to everyone. And this year, we will actually be giving away a car to one of the residents of Eureka Gardens. They don't know who they are yet, so they will have to show up. But we plan to bless a family with transportation.
Wow, that's a pretty big gift.
Yes, it's all about showing the love, and that's what we do this time of the year, and that's what we feel like we're called to do.
And let's go to your calls right now for Jacksonville's Pastor Mark Griffin of Wayman Ministries, 549-2937. Let's go to Ira on the south side. Hey, Ira, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Great show. So I'm a U.S. Army retired. So I was thinking, is there any secular organizations that go in there and teach, educate those the residents how to clean and maintain, how to paint, how to maintain the basic cleanliness of their apartments, at least to arrest or reduce the amount of other issues that they can take care of themselves. Other than the churches, is there any secular organization that goes in there and helps? Thank you.
Thank you, Colin. I'm not sure if they are, but let me just say that a lot of the living conditions are not necessarily a result of uncleaning, lack of cleaning. Keep in mind, you have an apartment complex that is 50-plus years old, where walls have never been painted, baseboards have never been cleaned, cabinets and things have never been replaced. And so, again, I've been in many of these units. And when you have mold, a lot of these residents, they keep bleach and other items in their homes. And they've shown me where they've wiped over walls only mm-hmm. to find out within days the mold that's within the wall seeps back through. So
it's not up to the residents. It's up to the owner of the complex.
Exactly. Yeah. You have tile floors that have never been changed. And so a lot of these issues are really issues of the owner, manager, not necessarily the tenants.
The natural gas leaks are a huge health concern as well.
Absolutely. That one night where we had the real issue, the fire marshal mentioned to us that if a person walked by with a cigarette at the wrong time, it could have been disastrous. So we're looking at long-term maintenance that has not taken place in that complex.
549-2937 to join us. Tom is on the west side. Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How about yourselves this morning?
All right, thanks.
I have two quick questions. First, is there any possibility that HUD will compel them to provide some sense of security, some security system for the residents there? And the second, do you think that the HUD will take a closer look at some of the other properties that Global Outreach is managing?
Yeah, two good questions there.
Yeah, it is my understanding that HUD is already looking at the entire portfolio that Global owns, and there are others here in Jacksonville. In fact, I received several inquiries from people over in Washington Heights who are saying, hey, why is everything being focused on Eureka, not Washington Heights? And my response is simply the residents have to become organized. They have to have someone to do what we've done, and that is to meet with the residents and help them to find their collective voices. And so I think organization and really understanding that as tenants, as I said to them on many occasions, as tenants, you have responsibilities, but you also have rights. And even though the rent money may not be coming directly out of their pockets, it is their living in those apartments that generate the revenue and income for the owners. Mm-hmm. And for that, he should be held accountable.
The owner, Richard Hamlet, has pledged to have all corrections completed by February 4th of 2016. Do you take him at his word?
Well, I'm glad that I'm not the one that have to take him at his word. It's going to be HUD. And I think it's, again, these are conditions that there's no way anyone can convince me that he and his people did not know. And I've said to him in a private meeting with him that I felt that all of his people should have been replaced because either they, one, were not taking care of his property, or two, they were not informing him based on what his communication to me was. And so this is something that needs to be fixed, and I'm glad that HUD has issued the default notice because that will hopefully hold his feet to the fire and force him and make him to do what really I believe he should have done all the
time. What was his response to you?
Well, his response was that he did not know. His response was he travels all over the world, and he was just not knowledgeable of A, the conditions, or B, the outcry from the community. My response to him was, if I had people working for me who kept me in the dark and who did not take care of my property, I would fire them. And so, you know, it's his company, it's his staff, and he has to do what he has to do. But as a city, I think we have to hold him accountable. And I'm thankful for Mayor Curry, Councilman Dennis, and what Federal HUD is doing. And as a church located in that community, we're going to do our part to hold the residents' hands and make sure they understand they have rights all the way through this process.
And it's 549-2937 to join the show. Jeff in downtown Jacksonville. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, good morning to both of you. I just wanted to make a quick comment, and that is really just to thank and applaud the pastor for your work there in Eureka Gardens. Just on behalf of our community, thank you for what you're doing. Even when you're talking about this, you know, there's so many issues there and things that can easily make a lot of people angry. And I don't hear you talking really harshly and kind of just inflaming the whole situation. I hear you talking, you know, very calmly and graciously. And that's just the kind of leadership I think is needed in this kind of situation. So just want to thank you for that and say, please keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. And that's what I intend to do, because I think when we work together, we can really come up with real solutions. And so it is not for me just to make noise or just to create a stage for myself. But it's about our church and our Community Development Corp really helping people. And I walk through Eureka Gardens, and I know the residents, and they're wonderful people. They really are. And of course, they're one or two everywhere. But by and large, these are wonderful families, wonderful children, and anything I can do to be of a benefit to them, I feel like that's what God has called me to do.
549-2937, Rick at the Beaches. Hey, Rick.
Hey. My question is, since this is a life safety issue, why hasn't HUD taken this to court quickly and got an injunction from those so-called Christians to stop them from getting any monies in from any rent until they start fixing their property?
That is a point that others have raised as well, Rick.
Yeah, I don't know the ins and outs of how the federal rules work, but it's my understanding that where HUD is now, they're going through their process, and apparently the owner does have certain rights, and he has
right. He has a legally executed contract. Right. But the criticism has been raised that HUD was very slow to respond.
Yeah, and I think so. And again, I'm glad to see that they are finally moving, and it is our goal to make sure that the momentum does not stop.
And as you pointed out, it raises the larger issue of beyond this one complex, Eureka Garden. Folks living in substandard conditions all over town. There are complexes where people are struggling and living in deplorable conditions, people living in poverty across a huge swath of this city. That's the bigger problem.
Yeah, and I think what we discovered some time back when we started working with the residents was that when they would complain individually, they would get 10-day eviction notices. And this is not just hearsay. We have documented evidence that when they complained, they would get a 10-day notice. And what would normally happen, residents who were fearful of losing the few personal possessions that they had, they would simply move out within that 10-day window. And so as we started meeting with the residents, helping them understand that that's not right. You do have rights. And so they began to stand up, and they started bringing all these 10-day notices that they had. So that's what's happening, I believe, all over our city and beyond. We have residents who really don't understand that they do have rights. And when they complain and they have a legitimate complaint, they can't just be put out.
Marie on the south side. Hi, Marie.
Hey, just a real quick question. I'll take my answer off the air. If that February deadline is not met, what are the consequences and what's the next step after that? Thanks.
Sure. According to what we have learned, HUD could suspend the contract, cancel the contract, suspend payments to this company, or take over the complex altogether, right?
That's what the letter says, but I think we have to be realistic. It is my expectation that there will be lawyers on his side brought in. I'm sure they're going to try to get delays on this. And I hope that won't happen, but it would not surprise me if somehow they don't try to delay the process. But again, we're going to be prepared on our end to make sure that the rights of the tenants are also being protected.
Meanwhile, the playground is up and running for the kids. What's next on your plate?
Well, again, this Saturday we have our annual Community Christmas Fellowship, where we will be blessing all the residents with toys and gifts. We just gave Thanksgiving baskets to 200 residents over there. We'll be giving away a car. And we're just going to continue to love on the people and let them know that they matter. And the thing that's been so amazing through all of this is that the residents began to get hope when they saw their mayor, the city council persons. And they said to me, we must really matter because people that matter are showing up. And I think it's also interesting to notice this is a complex that some years back, all we were talking about was shootings and crime and murder. Now we're talking about mold and gas. And just notice how there's not as much crime and violence. And it's simply because the efforts that we are making collectively as a community, including almost $100,000 in gifts for a playground, is saying to the residents, they matter. And from that gesture and those gestures, I think the people of Eureka now have some hope. And so they're not resorting to all the crime and violence as they were when they had no hope.
Well, that is a hopeful message at this season, isn't it? And thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
He's Pastor Mark Griffin of Wayman Ministries and the Wayman Community Development Corporation with us this morning. Much more still to come later. A warning about the most dangerous toys of the season, what you don't want to buy your child this year. Also, our book club with some gift ideas for the big reader on your list. But up next, some cutting-edge cancer treatment at the new Baptist MD Anderson Cancer Center in Jacksonville. Back in a moment.
WJCT is proud to present a community theater radio production of It's a Wonderful Life, featuring an all Northeast Florida cast. The hour-long radio production will air 24 times starting at 8 p.m. on Christmas Eve on 89.9 FM and online at WJCT.org. Sponsored in part by St. Vincent's Healthcare.
On the next Jazz Night in America,
I'm wishing.
We're exploring the intersection of jazz and animation.
They knew that the visibility of people like Louis Armstrong and Cab Calloway would certainly make their films more desirable.
And the Ladybugs played music from the Disney catalog.
There's a lot of really rich music in the Disney repertoire.
That's on the next Jazz Night in America.
Saturday nights at 8 on 89.9 WJCT.
It's the time of year we reflect on the good things in our lives, the moments of joy, the memories that make us thankful. WJCT is a source of many of these good things, an indispensable resource that brings happiness and joy to the First Coast all year long. Please take this time to support WJCT today so we can continue to keep you connected to the things that bring you happiness.
Welcome back. Well, a new treatment option at Baptist MD Anderson Cancer Center could help extend the life of newly diagnosed brain tumor patients. Dr. Robert Cavalieri, neuro-oncologist with the center, joins us now with more about this cutting-edge tool. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning.
So tell us about this. First of all, the new Baptist MD Anderson Cancer Center is such an advance for cancer treatment in Jacksonville, and this is just the latest news coming out of the new facility.
Yes, it is. I think it's going to take advantage of multidisciplinary specialized care, which is nothing new in general, but I think it is something that we bring to this community.
Absolutely. So this new tool is for patients who have an aggressive form of brain cancer, yes?
Correct. It's FDA approved for patients newly diagnosed with glioblastoma, as well as patients who have a history of glioblastoma and the tumor returns.
So tell us about it. It's called the Optune device?
Correct. So it's based on some physical properties of substance, which is when you introduce an electrical field to charged particles, it influences their behaviors and movements. And tumor cells, when they're in the process of dividing, generate electrical charges within the cells. So the electrical fields that are when that tumor cell is exposed to an electrical field, those electrical charges that form inside the tumor cells is influenced by that field in a way that causes the cell to die. The good news about the brain is the normal cells aren't dividing, so those same electrical fields don't have a significant influence on the behavior of normal tissue. So it's kind of the thing you look for. You want a treatment that's going to influence and attack tumor cells but not have an effect on normal tissue.
And this is done simply by placing electrodes on the patient's scalp, right?
Correct. I always describe it as bandages. You apply 4 bandages to a shaved scalp. Those bandages are connected by four wires to a generator that is then powered by a battery.
Wow. And what type of a difference does this make in a patient's prognosis?
So there was recently a study published, actually yesterday, a study was finally published that compared patients receiving standard treatment for newly diagnosed glioblastomas, which consists of radiation with chemotherapy followed by chemotherapy. The patients that were treated with the Optune device, in addition to standard of care, received the experimental treatment. And that treatment extended the survival of patients who received the combined therapy from 19 to 24 months. 5 months, while doesn't sound like a lot when you compare it to 19, is around a 25% increase in survival. And in the field of brain tumors, that's a lot.
Sure. Because this is the type of cancer that's really resistant to treatment, isn't it?
Correct. So as people have been studying glioblastomas for 40 years and thousands of clinical trials, and the reality of it is most of these studies did not have a substantial benefit or impact on how patients did.
And have you been using Optune here in Jacksonville so far?
I've just arrived in Jacksonville.
Oh,
the program is brand new. So we're just getting into the phase where my first patients that I'm treating are eligible for treatment, but we're hoping to get our first patient on treatment in the next week or so, actually.
That's pretty exciting.
We were using it in Ohio State University, though, where I just came down from. So there's several years of experience up there.
And what was it like when you worked with the technology up there?
It was acceptable. The big advantage of the treatment is that it doesn't carry the same side effect burden that a pill or an intravenous chemotherapy or radiation therapy has. Rather, the only side effect that it has is some irritation from where the bandages are applied. In addition to the fact you have to carry the device, that's only at 5 pounds or so. So really, patients tolerated it well. So patients who are a bit more frail or worried about going on to that next line of treatment that maybe carried more side effects, it became an option for them.
Sure. And again, as we said a moment ago, this is one example out of many showing the cutting-edge cancer treatments now available on the First Coast at Baptist MD Anderson Cancer Center.
Yes.
So it's good to speak with you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
He is neuro-oncologist Dr. Robert Cavalieri with us. And still to come, it's a special holiday edition of our book club on the show today, plus attorney Wayne Hogan on the most dangerous toys of 2015.
This is the sound of drama. This is the sound of your community.
Good morning, and live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.
Stay connected. Stay informed. Enjoy live streaming of your favorite local WJCT and PBS and NPR content, all free from your devices. The WJCT app, available now in the Apple App Store and Google Play.
This is Michael Feldman. You know what makes a great holiday gift? Me. Or if you can't give me, how's about tickets to see me live? WJCT and the Flora Theater are proud to bring Michael Feldman's What Do You Know Live to Jacksonville on February 20th. do the quiz, have some great guests and music, and possibly defect from Wisconsin once and for all. Tickets now at the Florida Theater box office by phone at 904-355-2787 or online at floridatheater.com. Hope to see you there.
On the next Fresh Air, a history of cemeteries, cremation, and how we deal with mortal remains. We talk with historian Thomas LaCour about his new book, The Work of the Dead. And Neil Gaiman tells us about the 25th anniversary volume of his comic book series, The Sandman, which is about a godlike creature known as Dream or Morpheus. Join us weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
Today, we can get just about anything in the grocery store, even in the coldest and most remote places in the U.S.
Do you carry strawberries?
We do carry strawberries.
Even when it's negative 57?
Yes, ma'am.
But what's the price workers pay for the convenience of year-round strawberries? On the next Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.
Thursday at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, if something good to read is on your Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa wish list, our First Coast Connect book club blogger Stacey Goldring is here with some perfect gift ideas for book lovers and a little something extra, too. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Melissa.
Good to see you. And I always like a book at this time of year. If somebody wants to buy me a book for Christmas, I'd be all about that.
Ain't it the truth?
Yeah.
Well, I really thought long and hard about this. And I thought if you are listening to WJCT, if you're a contributor, which I hope people pledged last week and everyone is.
They did.
And if you are a book lover, then maybe you want to give a book to someone else who needs a book.
Sure.
So the gift is kind of flipped around, and I went ahead and I researched who needs books. Okay. So do you remember Rift? Do you remember the bookmobiles?
Of course.
Yeah.
Reading is fundamental. Reading,
yeah. That takes yes. it back, right? Okay. So Rift. They used to distribute up to 17 million books a year in their heyday. And of course, when we went through the, you know, economic straightening up of America a few years ago, they really lost a lot of their funding and they were down to 1.8 million books last year.
Oh, really?
That's huge. And it is said that 2/3 of the children that are in fourth grade are not reading up to level.
Yeah, that's right. And let me just give a plug to the local Read It Forward Jacks Coalition.
Absolutely.
In Jacksonville, spearheaded by W.C. Gentry and a host of other folks. I'm on that coalition. They're trying to change those numbers locally. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, we can certainly make a donation to them if you're a book lover.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay, so that's a wonderful way to give a book or to give someone a donation in honor of them, mm-hmm. or maybe your book club could get together, whatever you want to do. But RIF is accepting donations. There's another group called booksforkids.org, and they donate books to needy libraries all over the country. But I noticed we don't have any libraries here in Jacksonville that are affiliated with Books for Kids. So what a great idea for someone to take on for a community service project, all you high schoolers out there that need your community service. There's also something called littlefreelibraries.org. Are you familiar with this?
I have heard of that.
So why not give the gift of a mailbox? You can go online and give someone a mailbox for their front yard. They have the kit you can put together, or you can put in your zip code and you can find where the mailboxes are in our area and go put some books in that mailbox. Booksforsoldiers.org. Let's not forget that our soldiers are readers as well.
Sure.
And they need books and they also need donations. Also, let's think about prisoners. Books2prisoners.org and booksthroughbars.org are accepting
These
donations.
These are all great ideas.
Let's say you don't want to give a book, but you can give your treasure of time. The Sanctuary downtown, they've got plenty of books.
The Sanctuary on 8th Street.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. They need people to give their time to read to these children. Can you imagine what happens when you build up a relationship with the child through the beauty of a story? It's a life-changing event. It really opens up their world. And reading is the key to freedom. It's the key to opportunity. So why not right here in town give the gift of an hour a week to read to a child. You know, how beautiful would that be?
Sure. And they can use the time, and so can a host of other nonprofits.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what you need to do, think about your favorite nonprofit, and if they need books, you think they may need books, call first and make sure what type of book, because specific organizations are either looking for a hardcover, softcover. It must be in good condition. Or they're just simply looking for a donation. Mm-hmm. So that being said, I'm making it very simple because the simplest gifts sometimes are the best. And if you are a book lover, if you belong to a book group, get together with your friends and decide to whom you would like to donate your time to or to what organization that you would like to donate to. And I think a little bit can go such a long way.
Absolutely. All just fabulous ideas. And you'll have these up on your website later today.
Yes.
Or email us if you need a few more ideas at bookclub@wjct.org.
So now I have something very exciting to announce. And for those of you who are in the know, you will chuckle when I say something to you. And that is, my name is Inigo Montoya. Prepare to die.
You killed my father. Prepare to die.
You killed my father. And marriage.
So, marriage is what brings us together today.
Wav, twoo, wav. So now everyone's changing the channel. I hope not. Okay. So I'm very excited to announce our first Blix, which will be The Princess Bride, which was first a book.
Yes.
First a book that is nothing like the movie. Who knew? It was called Princess Bride, S. Morgan Stern's classic tale of true love and high adventure.
That's right.
Okay, and it was by William Golden. And I will have, the library will have copies available, but we will be doing a screening of Princess Bride at the San Marco Bookstore.
Oh, how exciting.
I'm very excited to partner with them. I'm just thrilled. And that will be January 28th, 7 o'clock, tickets $15 at the door, but it's reserved seating, so let me know if you want to come. Just write marriage in the subject line, books at WJCT.
No, book club. Book club at WJCT.org.
And,
subject line, marriage.
Marriage. And how many tickets, name, et cetera, and we will get back to you. But we will have adult and children beverages.
Oh, that is fabulous.
And it's going to be a fun time comparing the book to the movie.
That's right. That's right. Because people who love that movie might not realize it was a book first.
And I suggest if you are going to read it, there's a 25th edition and a 30th year edition. Mm-hmm. I'd go for the 30th because there is more on Buttercup, who was Robin Wright.
Yes, of course.
I know. So
that was her first big role.
Yeah, yeah. Still pretty. She's still pretty.
She's one of my favorites. Yeah. And my kids love that movie.
Oh, well,
it's timeless.
Come.
Yes,
oh, my goodness.
Yes,
oh,
it's
my
timeless.
Goodness. And, you know, we're partnering with the San Marco Bookstore. It's used books, so we're upcycling. You know, they have a lot of new but used books as well. And maybe you want to buy some there and donate to your favorite charity.
Yes, great idea. So again, it's a screening of The Princess Bride coming up on January 28th, 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. at the San Marco Bookstore. It's Stacy's first Blix. That's a book that's been made into a movie. Stacy's first Blix event
of
the new year.
Yay.
If you want tickets, email her at bookclub@wjct.org. Subject line,
Marriage.
And please spell it phonetically.
Yes, yes.
Just to make her smile.
That's right. And Melissa, we love you, and we were so proud of you last week on Diane Weem. I better stop. Okay.
Oh, thank you. And have a very happy holiday.
And you too. Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, and happy healthy new year to all the readers out there. Keep on reading.
And back in a moment with some timely advice about what toys to avoid this season.
The Fed tries to guide the economy through rough spots, but really, can it?
It seems to me the risk of the economy hitting recession when monetary policy is not in a position to respond are much greater than they have been previously.
I'm Kai Ryssdal, former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, next time on Marketplace from 8 p.m.
Weeknights at 6 on 89.9 WJCT, community-supported public radio.
I'm David Luckin, host of the Electro Lounge, inviting you to join me Tuesday through Saturday nights on 89.9 when we bring you music from around the world. All styles played, all songs considered. Join me for the Electro Lounge, Tuesday through Saturday nights.
In the 1960s, identical twin gangsters ruled London's East End.
Well, they're pretty much legendary around all of London, and everyone's got a story. Most of them are lies.
The film Legend chronicles the lives of the Cray brothers.
There's a very fertile ground in the Cray's story, and there's a fascination that people have within gangster culture.
The history behind the movie later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Weekdays at 4 on 89.9 WJCT.
Relax around the clock with the music of your life. Playing great music from Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald to James Taylor, Joni Mitchell, and more. Relax Radio, WJCT, 89.9 HD3. Learn more at wjct.org/relax.
Never know how much I love you.
Well, finally, this hour, as you're out buying presents this holiday season, you need to avoid trouble in Toyland by keeping safety in mind. Last year, 11 kids around the country died from toy-related deaths, and more than 250,000 toy-related injuries were treated in U.S. emergency rooms. Attorney Wayne Hogan of the Terrell Hogan Personal Injury and Wrongful Death Law Firm represents families whose kids have been injured or killed by dangerous toys. He's here now to talk about toy safety. And Wayne, you brought some of these offending toys with you. They even made a notorious watch list. Good morning.
Well, thank you very much. And let me join the chorus to say welcome back. And
thanks
for offering a hope for civil conversation around the United States.
Thank
even
you.
After Diane Rehm retires. We really appreciate the work that you did up there.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. It was a really neat experience all the way around.
This topic of toys and toy safety is awfully important. There's a trial lawyer and a safety advocate for children who back in the 70s, Edward Schwartz, began WATCH, it's called World Against Toys Causing Harm. And every year, his son and the others there continue bringing out this list of dangerous toys. And this year, they brought out a list of 10. That's just representative of thousands and thousands of them that are out there. And so I brought some of those along today and want to talk about the importance of the work that the Consumer Product Safety Commission does. They've caught millions of them, but parents have to step up and
that's
be on the
right.
lookout.
Parents need to know
grandparents
and grandparents what not to buy. And so what
that's
are
right.
some of the worst offenders?
Well, this is an example right here. This is sort of a slingshot situation where they're able to, it literally is a slingshot that's sold to for use by children and fires this little projectile, which I'll do across here at the wall.
Oh, yeah. Any kid would love that and grab that.
Could
sure.
Could go 40, 50 feet, and obviously if it hits a child in the eye. And so that's part of what I've developed now as a bit of a word use that people can have when they go to the store or they're on the internet. And it's, should I buy this? And then I'll explain.
Okay.
So first, the first S in that long should would be, does it shoot? If it shoots, that means there's the potential that it's going to put out a child's eye as a result.
So shooting toys, you say no go.
No, when you're, especially with young children, obviously.
Right.
Because you can't be with those kids all the time, and then one is going to hurt the other.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it small? here's a doctor's playset, you know, in terms of kids playing doctors. And on the front, it shows the sister. She's uh-huh. playing doctor to the little boy. Well, the problem is when she's a little older than the sister or the brother that she's playing with, and she walks away, you can see right here, this is a thermometer that would be used, but it would
choke on that.
It would fit through the tube of a toilet paper roll. That's the usual test. It's so small, so when she walks away, he puts it in his mouth, it goes down his windpipe.
And that says, and you know, and they always give age ranges. That says 2+.
Yes.
And moms see that and think, okay, that's safe for my child. My child's 2.5.
But you have mixed ages of children.
Uh-huh.
And so this invites the older child to play doctor with the younger child, and then the younger child is at risk. So that's another S in this should that I'm talking about. Is it small? Here's another one. Does it strangle? Does it have the potential to strangle? This little toy zebra, which is on the list, the requirement is that it be less than 8 inches or so, so it won't strangle a child. This string is almost 2 feet long and runs the risk of getting wrapped around a child's throat and strangling the child.
You just pull the zebra on the string.
That's right. The next S in this should that I'd like parents to be asking themselves about, should I buy this, is it sharp? Like this is a ninja turtle sword with a sharp point that obviously has the potential to go right into the eye of a brother or sister.
Let me see that. That does look like a sharp tip.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Of course, any little boy, well, boys or girls would grab this and start playing with this.
Of course they would.
They'd love it.
And if you were to see the box shows them doing exactly that and mm-hmm. engaging in a ninja battle with it. And then finally, is it hard? These are claws. These are velociraptor claws, and you can see the tip of the claw here, Melissa. And
uh-huh.
that's just perfect for jamming into a child's face and into an eye. And you can see the photograph that they have on the back of the package that
shows
a child doing precisely that. So for me, that's the H in the should. So a parent standing at the in the aisle or on the internet is able to ask themselves, should I buy this? And that helps them remember that they should look for something that is capable of being shot, is too small, capable of strangling, or is sharp, and finally, whether it's hard. Those are the five watchwords to be aware of in trying to avoid, especially with small children, buying these kinds of toys that are dangerous.
And what about toys coming in from overseas? So many of them are not regulated
way. They're not, and CPSC can only stop so many at the ports when they identify them. And so that's why parents, if they identify products on the store shelves that appear dangerous, or they buy something and it has turned out to be dangerous, they should get in touch with the Consumer Product Safety Commission at cpsc.gov, or there's a telephone number they can call, which is 800-638-2772, or they can go on our website at terrellhogan.com or just Google my name, and then they can tell whether toys have been recalled, and if they haven't, they need to report it. The only other thing I'd say about this is be on the lookout for secondhand toys. Obviously, people are trying to save money, and there's yard sales and Craigslist and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But those secondhand toys may have been recalled. And if they've been recalled, it was for a reason. It was because they were dangerous to children.
So common sense rules.
It does.
What would you say to parents listening who might think, well, you're being a killjoy. Maybe I shouldn't worry so much about all this.
The key here is you want your kids to have fun, but you want your kids to be there next year when there's Christmas or holidays. And these kinds of toys can take a child's life. So this is really balancing the risk of fun or having fun now versus the danger that a child might not survive until next year. We see these in our law practice. Other law firms do as well. We'd like to prevent these kinds of things if we can. And that's why at TerrellHogan.com we have this recall list so that people can be aware of what the hazards are.
And the list is on your website. Any other tips for parents if they have an unsafe toy in their home? Do you recommend that they not give it away, but do what with it?
Well, they what they should do is they can take it, just simply put it away and destroy it, or if there is an opportunity, they can even send it to a governmental regulation unit like the Consumer Product Safety Commission, who can look at it. You don't want it in the hands of a child who could be seriously injured, possibly lose their life as a result of a defective toy that was designed poorly, where there were inadequate warnings, and the result is a choice was made poorly by the parent.
Such important advice at this time of year, and we thank you so much for sharing it. Thanks for being here.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Melissa.
He's attorney Wayne Hogan of the Terrell Hogan Firm. Again, that list is on his website. It's the watch list, the 10 worst toys of 2015. Check it out before you go shopping. And that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Sean Birch. The show theme, composed and performed by the Symphony's Pyotr Chepchik. Emails go to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, and make sure to subscribe to the daily podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Next on Diane Rehm, on Wednesday, the Federal Reserve is expected to announce an interest rate hike for the first time in 9 years. What higher rates could mean for the economy, small business, and consumers. That's next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT-FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.